Do you play trading card games? Of course you do. That's why you're listening to slash watching this thing. If you want to save money on your trading card purchases, we have a promo link over at 50cards.shop. Enter the promo code at night to get 5% off your order.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Nexus at Night, your weekly Vanguard podcast. I'm Atlas.
I'm Matt.
I'm Rootbeer.
Did I just say every bloody?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna make so. I was gonna say something about vampires. I don't know.
I want to do your podcast. So talking about it's 90 degrees in Los Angeles right now. I live on the second floor apartment. I'm delirious. But
so you're having a great time.
I'm having a great. I am straight up having a great time. It's the opposite of that meme. We're talking about the idea of interactivity in Vanguard, which is something that has been a long period of contention as long as the game has existed, for the most part. And then also,
by interactivity, do you mean like things that affect your affect game plans, or do you mean like G guards or guardians in any way that prevent your opponent or make your opponent think change the way they do things?
Like I suppose,
like direct interaction or like strategic interaction.
I suppose we should probably define that before we get into it, right?
That's kind of what I'm asking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult definition and one that gets constantly argued about, and I think kind of confused on. I think some people like have kind of different ideas of what interaction means to them. Like if you ask a Magic player what interaction means, they'll be like, well, I want to be able to kind of like force my opponent to think about my options on my opponent's turn and kind of play with those options in mind. And, you know, that kind of like builds an entire that defines player skill, right? Is kind of like thinking about these things. And Yu-Gi-Oh! Is very similar in that respect, where you have things you can do on your opponent's turn and your opponent has certain lines that can play through or around those interactions, right? But Vanguard doesn't have that in kind of a specific sense.
Mm-hmm.
Vanguard, you're basically saying like, oh, well, can I either do something on my turn that changes how my opponent can act, right? Mm-hmm. Or do I have a guardian skill that makes it so my opponent has to kind of prepare for or think about the result of that?
Mm-hmm. I think in Vanguard's case in particular, you have just by virtue of whatever clan you're playing, your opponent is kind of half expecting what's coming. Oh, I see Narukami, I see Kagero, I see Deer Chronicle. They have the ability to do this thing. So from turn three onward, I now have to keep in mind that they could drop a Hetero Around, drop a Denial Griffin, drop a... Ippy Dragon, and fuck up my board.
Even now with Heal Guardians can matter a lot if you try to pressure early.
That's true. But there's not really a direct consequence in that turn. That's more of an indirect consequence where it either slows you down or shuts off your turn, and then you usually feel the consequence of that play turns later. It's not like, there's not a tangible effect that you're feeling as the player as opposed to having the opponent go, all right, that big thing that you're restanding three times is dead.
Basically, you're not flipping Solemn Judgment on your opponent.
Dimensional Prison, whatever.
I feel like more people would get Solemn Judgment.
Oh, sure. I don't know. I just figured it was a more accurate description because it has to do with attacking, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, as far as like kind of direct interaction on your opponent's turn, other than Guardians, the only real card that does that, I think, is the original Dark Phase.
Yeah.
It's like one of the few cards that triggers when your opponent just does something. And there's as far as I know, no other ones that like trigger just by your opponent doing something.
Yeah. Even something like Freeze Ray has to get hit.
Mm-hmm. Like, everything is battle phase kind of consequence or a guardian skill.
Yes. And it should be noted that Dark Phase had shown up in Worlds twice winning the whole thing. And like, it was noted both times by that player that like, this was the important card because it like impeded my opponent from doing what they wanted to do.
You can original like, darkness?
Original darkness.
I only remember the one time with when Gold Paladin was everywhere in premium.
So that happened twice in G-Era, and it was mostly on the latter half of it, but you had like Gold Paladin being Gold Paladin, and then Mega Colony was a weird silver bullet for it. We're not talking about Order Colony. This is something else.
This was back when premium was shit, and Gold Paladin could just ride to grade 3 while you were at grade 1 in stride.
Yeah.
Oh, this was like the beginning of V, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you had that, and then you also had you had like late G also that happened. I see.
When did that happen in late G?
I think it was when Overwhelm came out.
I think so. Yeah.
So
like GBT.
I didn't think they were playing Dark Phase. But
yeah, no, that was the last time Mega Colony was meta. Like before, it was a specific counter pick to Golds, and like right now was with Redora. I don't remember that deck playing original Dark Phase.
Maybe it had it as like a backup or something, because I remember seeing it in a deck list.
I do not remember any of this.
Are you confusing with Dark Phase Gredora?
Yeah, because like Gredora does have Dark Phase in her name, and like her skill to just shut out an entire column would be extremely relevant.
I don't remember. And either way,
counter blast stuff.
My point is that this, I think, is the only card that just like has an effect that procs when your opponent does something. Mm-hmm. Like, they've never printed another effect like this, as far as I know. And I wonder if they kind of regretted making a card like Dark Phase. It would be, I think Dark Phase is not a good card, but completely shut down some decks sometimes, mostly mm-hmm. Spikes. Because Spikes need to remove the unit, at least at the time.
Yeah.
And
it seems like something they didn't want to, like, they, like, dip their toe in that pool, and they're like, maybe we should not do that.
This goes nowhere good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always thought they should try that again. Like, I feel like it'd be interesting where, so, like, early G Mega Colony, it was like, pick two things, and then rest them and stun them, and then if they're still rested at the end of the turn, you draw a card, whatever. It just wasn't... I had the idea to... It was almost like soft locking, where you go, I pick that circle, and the next time something shows up there, it gets tripped. Like, you call it webbing or something. They never did that, obviously, but they... Like, there were the cradle markers that came later, but that was also after the fact. You couldn't place a cradle marker in battle phase.
Right.
Can they do that now?
I don't think so. They have not supported the cradle play style.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So and they do have things that's like on play. So if they have something that can like call things during battle phase, then you can. But
yeah, like the furthest Vanguard has gone on with interaction has been, you know, battle phase interruptions with Guardian skills and then, like, floodgate effects. So, like, Redora obviously is the one everyone's thinking about right now, but early V, there was the, what was that dragon called? The one that stopped you from riding.
Zanbaku?
Yeah, Zanbaku, thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, it's usually floodgate effects, like, you can't ride, you know, can't call from hand in the face, or can only call from hand with Redora. I guess, like, deleting, technically, if you couldn't ride over it and get rid of the deletion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's usually stuff like that. And then, Dark Phase is the only... And Dark Phase, so far, has been the only card that, like, actively interrupts your opponent as they're trying to make plays.
And you see a lot of Vanguard players who, came from Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Magic... I was learning. I was watching MBT? I think who does History of Yu-Gi-Oh, and he was talking about SEMO and MBT. Yeah, so he was talking about around the time of like 2012, 2013, the meta for Yu-Gi-Oh was so toxic that there was this mass exodus of players, and a lot of them ended up in Vanguard around that time. So it was one of those things.
He goes on to make fun of Vanguard right after that, I think.
Oh, he does. But I'm just saying, like, seeing it from the other side. Because I was one of those people where, like, Insectors were too much for me to handle. I left. And then he's like, around this time, I was like, oh, shit, that's me.
Basically, Vanguard exists because Yu-Gi-Oh! Was a shit game in 2013.
I mean, that's like the only one of the few ways you can actually break into the US TCG market is you need other games to be poor. And yeah. Then for like to like be not fun or have a bad format or whatever, and then you'll kind of get new players because people are looking for something else to do. And Yu-Gi-Oh! Players to by and large refuse to go to Magic.
It's a weird rivalry. I'm not sure why.
I mean, plenty of like old school Yu-Gi-Oh! Legends have gone to Magic and been quite successful. But for the most part, there's a lot of them have a resentment toward Magic players.
Mm-hmm. But I digress. What I'm saying is that you have this like almost a latent desire for that kind of interactivity. Like even in Yu-Gi-Oh, the ability to like set traps or in a more modern sense set negates, there's that sense of like give and take, whereas with Vanguard it's about hunkering down, surviving the opponent's turn so you can do your turn again.
I don't think Vanguard will ever be that kind of game, and like I think when people want interaction they should really kind of figure out what kind of interaction they want. Vanguard's not really built like Yu-Gi-Oh or Magic. And like the developers of Vanguard, I think have made it pretty clear that they just want you to play your cards and attack, and then do your skills and feel cool, send it over to your opponent. Your opponent plays their cards and does their skills.
Yeah, like Blitz Orders they're like compromised half-heartedly to try and scratch that itch for some people, but they're really not. I don't think they want to do Blitz Orders that tangibly affect the board unless it like shit goes down or they're like, we're hemorrhaging people, we gotta up the gas or something. I think it's all like for a long time we're gonna have things where it's just stuff about like giving power to your Vanguard or whatever.
I mean, we now have like the Fox Order with Tamayura, which is a permanent -10 for like the turn.
I have one Blitz Order in Kyrie.
Which one is that?
The one that gives your Vanguard 30k if it was hit this turn.
There you go. Yeah. So
it's a 30k shield. I'm like, sure.
Yeah. For the rest of the turn, at least, right?
No.
It's just.
God, no. Could you imagine if it just made your Vanguard 43 for the rest of the turn? That would be wild.
So I don't know. I imagine they're not going to do this unless, maybe another 10 years that Vanguard survives, it ends up moving toward that. But for now, I don't see it happening.
Yeah. And then, like, it also kind of turns into, like, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Problem where there's so much interaction now that your deck is either you can play through three hand traps or you just, like, lose.
There's too much interaction, right?
Yeah. There's just, like, every turn one board is to try and make it so your opponent cannot play the game as much as humanly possible.
So still a slam Mystic Mine. How hard is that?
Just play Flunder every time. And just, like, set up your full lockout. Your opponent just won't have whichever hand trap is bat for Flunder.
Droll.
I don't know if Vanguard would ever want to... I imagine if they were to do this, it would just be... They would start with Dragon Empire, because that's usually where they go when they need, like, blowing stuff up.
I like exactly Denial Griffin as far as that, and I think it was Belog?
Which one?
Oh, the one that if you... The GB1, if at the end of the attack, if the attack is not hit, retire.
Oh, yeah. Belog.
Retire arrested.
Belog. Yeah, it's like... At the end of the battle, if it didn't hit, then retire Arrested Rearguard. So yeah, I think those two cards exactly are fine. I feel like anything else, and you're bordering on that feeling of like, oh, my opponent just like shut down my entire turn and I can't do anything. That's not fun.
Yeah, I don't imagine they're going to have like a thing where you discard it. Like, not a G-Guard, because there is a finite amount of them. You want to use those heals for other stuff sometimes. But just, like, they're not going to do, like, a grade one where it's like, discard this, blow something up. I don't think it's going to be that. I do like that they have... So, Narukami, they're playing, you know, Eradicator stuff again. And they have grade two from, like, way the fuck before, where it was like, when you intercept with it, counterblaster and Eradicator and retire an opponent's standing rear guard. And it's pain in the ass to play against, but it takes, like, there is some interactivity there, because if you, the opponent, go, I don't see any Eradicators in his damage, he can't pull that off, or I can blow this up before it becomes a problem, or something like that. It's like a light amount of interactivity that's not...
Yeah. Basically, like, your opponent needs some opportunity to, like, play around it, right? Because, you know, with Denial Griffin, you have, like, on-attack skills, you have your other column, you have, like, your Vanguard ability, so there are times when, like, getting something blown up is inconvenient, but not, like, turn-ending. You know, it can be turn-ending if you, like, put all your eggs in one basket, or...
You'll also notice that the clans that have the most convenient access to Denial Griffining are not some kind of, like, oppressive meta force. Kagero, Narukami, kind of. But
I mean, Narukami's problem is Stunverse, right? Because that's just a hand rip card, and we don't like those.
Yeah, but, like, Kagero and Gear Chronicle both have the ability to, like, just have direct access to... the Denial Griffin like effect, but they're not running around causing trouble. Meanwhile, other clans that have access to removal on the opponent's turn, things like Great Nature, because I always have to go toward that. Pale Moon has one now that's, like, way easier to pull off than before. I think, does DI have one? I feel like it does. I gotta go back and look. I have this written down somewhere. but, like, a lot of clans have access to that, but they're multi-card combos too. Get this to work. That's not what makes the clan win. It just is it's a boon. It's a
survival tool.
Yeah.
Which I do want them to make more, like, utility, like Blitz Orders or Guardians, just to, like, make survival easier without, like, completely just stopping your opponent's turn. Like, I feel like that's the sweet spot you want to get to, because, you know, people feel bad when they're not allowed to, like, do their thing. You know, that's why everyone hates stun decks so much. It's just like, oh my god, I can't... You know, I just want to, like, play Solitaire for 5 minutes and do my combo. You know, and Floodgate stop that. You know, same thing with decks that can just put up, like, a ton of interruptions in Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, no one likes that shit.
Yeah, so, but there are, like, outs to Floodgates in Yu-Gi-Oh! Right?
Yeah. You know, I think that's a problem with Vanguard right now, is because there's no interaction, no way to, like, stop your opponent from doing anything, then, like, Floodgates are probably, like, too oppressive.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no easy way to counter Gridora if your deck doesn't have a built-in way to, like, mass call from hand.
Yeah. It's, there's also, like, that psychological aspect to it, right? Like, you just kind of have to sit there and be like, alright, it's coming. It's coming.
And the fact that they have Brilliant Blister as well.
Oh, that too.
Yeah. Which is an annoying card for sure.
Yeah.
I think with an Ambush Dexter, Spikes can play around exactly one Brilliant Blister. And then if they have two, you just lose. Which is very cool.
Brilliant Blister isn't searchable, is it?
No.
Okay, so...
Unless they, for some reason, have cradle things and they cradle a grade one. But that would be wild. But basically, no. But that's why they just, you know, play full copies.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to think of, like...
That card is crazy.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty wacky. Allows them to be... I don't think they need to hit it. But it's just very good. It's a very good card.
The problem is the deck around it, right? It always has been.
Yeah. I think if they got rid of Gridora, Brilliant Blister is, like, fine. Like, again, it's in that sweet spot of being, like, it can, like, severely inhibit or, like, stop your turn, but you also have opportunities to play around it.
Yeah.
Like, V Brilliant Blister only works if your Vanguard is resting, so, you know, there's that. You don't necessarily... And not every deck necessarily, like, restands the rear guard, so, you know, there are ways around Brilliant Blister, but you combine that with a really powerful Floodgate, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's not really a good solution for Spikes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you kind of have to attack with your Vanguard to set stuff up, but...
Yeah. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, broadly, Brilliant Blister isn't a huge problem. It doesn't stop, like, every deck. There are some solutions around it. So, on its own, I think Brilliant Blister is fine. It's just that existing alongside a Floodgate.
Yeah.
Which...
Ghidorah plus Blister, good luck.
Mm-hmm. You know, that seems like the bigger problem with Vanguard right now is just, like, Floodgate effects are very oppressive. And, like, every time we've had a very good and consistent one, they usually end up at, like, the top of the format. So, like, Zanbaku was really strong because it, like, shut down OTT at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we have Ghidorah right now.
Do you think...
It also stopped people from stacking force markers as well, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there is, like, a way to slightly increase interactivity without, you know, busting the game open?
I think what they should have done, and I've said this before, like, years ago, that I would like to see more, like, just, like, small guard skills on certain rear guards. Like, even if it's just, like, plus 5k here, like, plus 5k shield for no reason, in addition to whatever other skill, just so you have, like, even if that card is slightly worse, like, on, like, text-wise than another card, it's the bonus of running it is that it's a bigger shield than this card. And, like, we come to this problem, especially in D format right now, where there's, you just, like, if it's not a trigger, it's not shield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're worth nothing. And grade ones are now 5k, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just so low on shield in D format. And attacks are so big.
You know, I think, like, something probably needs to be done with, like, orders and blitz orders, because decks that are relying on that have, like, even less shield value now, because even if your higher grade units aren't worth very much, sometimes an extra 5k makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, having orders be worth nothing in your hand is, like, really bad.
I think it would have been interesting if they... if orders could have been played in the guard circle as opposed to having to be put in the order zone, because then they could have, like, let's say you could guard with an order, and on paper it doesn't have any shield or anything, but... let's say Zorga, for example, had an ability. It's like, when you place an order, this unit gets plus 5k till end of battle. Or something.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an interesting way to... like, or even better, when you play an order, this unit gets plus 5k for the turn. Mm-hmm. Right? So now when you guard with orders, you lose the order that you would be doing for Alchemagic, but you make, you know, you make the zombie boy chunkier for the turn. Whether also, it be like, your opponents.
And that, you know, blitz orders have the opposite problem where their only value is guarding, which means, like, they can't be used as a strategic piece. And since a lot of the orders just, like, give you power anyways, kind of wish, like, blitz orders could be played on both turns.
I wish they could, too. Like, quick play spells are some of the most interesting cards in Yu-Gi-Oh! For that exact reason. You can use them in a variety of situations.
Yeah, although they'd have to walk a very fine line with, like, blitz orders, as if that was the case.
And probably just relegated to the battle phase of either turn, like that.
As they've kind of constructed blitz orders, at least recently, a lot of them don't even work, even if you could play them on your turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. What they probably have to do is, like, change that ruling, where, like, now instead of just your opponent's battle phase, it's both, and then start making more blitz orders with that, which is fine.
I mean, there's not really a timing for it, though, right? You'd have to, like, invent a timing.
Yeah, maybe it's like when something attacks, you can play a blitz order.
So you add, like, In each battle step, you add kind of like an order phase before guarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or order step or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think that... I feel like that would be fairly easy to implement without much damage.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. That's what we think. Yeah, did we have anything else we wanted to say about this? Or
no.
No.
So, why don't we do some ban list predictions? Because we're getting near the end of Springfest era or season. We have BRO coming up.
10 days.
10 days.
Yeah, ban list should be coming out next Friday.
So, what do we want to see? What do we think is going to happen?
Well, I assume we're at least going to get the Japanese ban list.
Yeah. As, like, silly as the Japanese ban list is, we're probably going to get it.
But I do think they'll add some extra stuff for premium and V premium here.
Yeah.
Just like before.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess there's like what we want to get hit and what we expect to get hit.
I know Bushiroad is like more in, like more likely to errata things rather than hit them.
Which is horrible.
Kind of a pain, because you said in our in the Dust video, Rootbeer.
That was that once.
What?
They've like, errata'd a couple cards. But.
Yeah, they've errata'd a couple cards, but like Rivier was like once. And like other erratas have either been like pre-release like Dust or like the 5 million infinite loops that they keep accidentally making.
Yeah. And that no, but I mean, like, they're more inclined to do something like that as opposed to Konami, which only does it after it's been so long on the ban list that they're like, this is getting annoying. Should we, like, fix it and then release it?
I think Bushiroad does hate banning cards.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to do is they're going to be like, oh, we're going to put Gridor to 2 and not actually solve anything.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be like, oh, that's good enough. Or they're going to be like, we're going to choice something stupid or put, like, they're just going to do something that just doesn't make sense.
This is what I want, at least for premium. Gridora Stride to 1. Stunverse to 1. Ginny, Nightmare Doll Ginny, the one that allows you to loop Alice, banned. And, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do anything with Percival because now we have Holy Shine Liberator and I feel like that's going to get ridiculous real fast. But
yeah, like pre-banning Percival like is a maybe. Pre-banning Odysseus might be something.
Mm. I don't know if they need to ban it. Maybe put it to 1 or 2. We haven't even seen if it does anything yet in terms of competitive standards.
Yeah, but like adorable. Like, on paper, resolving a single Odysseus is like a +3.
I just want Gridora banned, but what I think they're going to do, and this is actually even more useless than putting Gridora to 1, is they're going to, like, choice restrict the stupid dragon in the book, and they're going to find a different order to play, and we're going to be like, well, this did nothing.
Yeah. Like, we just not touching the problem card.
They're going to just ignore Gridora as a problem. Mm-hmm. I think Gridora should just straight up be banned. Like, I think that this card is like this card stopping G Guardians is pretty unreasonable. Mm-hmm. And like, if you want to say, oh, that kills the deck, I don't care. I cannot care.
Yeah, like, I think my thoughts are like, yeah, just kill Gridora. I'm not playing premium right now, but it seems like everyone's just tired of this card. Probably should kill Percival. Maybe in both formats. I don't know if it's going to be a huge problem in premium with Holy Shine.
I'm willing for, at least in premium, just to let Gold Rock.
Okay. So yeah, at the very least, like, killing Percival and V, just because the instant it was playable in Gurgut, again, the deck, like, became top meta. And so we are going to kill, like, Bluish Flames as a whole as a consequence, but, like, whatever. I feel like either that or, like, choice restricting Percival and Holy Shine. I don't know if they're going to preemptively choice restrict a card that hasn't come out yet.
I have no idea how to handle the gold situation. They basically printed Percival 2 through 5 after printing Percival to 1.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess they could also errata the fucking dragon so that you can't get, like, more Excel gifts, but...
Who knows?
That's one of those things where, like, really? You didn't see this coming?
Yeah, like, this card is just... Like, the upcoming Holy Shine is just such an obvious problem when... Like, the deck is already very powerful, and then you have something that just really obviously makes it stronger.
I do think they'll do something to Golds and Prism, at least in V, but I'm not convinced what they'll do will be enough.
Yeah. Let's see. For Prisms, you should probably just, like, either hit it to one or just ban Rosa outright. That's, like, your main plus engine. It's how you get everything in your drop or in your bind zone. And, like, it's usable in duos, too, so, like, touching Vert in any way isn't going to matter once that card comes out. Excuse me. But yeah, like for Prisms, I think just ban Rosa outright. That probably like hurts the deck enough for it to be unplayable. And we can like try to play other Bermuda variants. I would also like unban Meep if I really wanted to, but just because Melody wasn't doing anything and we got that stupid ban for no reason.
I know that Meep is the actual name, but all I can imagine is Beaker from the Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
Meep.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, they choice... Like, last time, they choice restricted, like, Rosa, Coutier, and Ellie, and everyone was just like, okay, so we keep Rosa, and Prism is still a top deck. So I think it's time to just actually ban the problem for that. What else is, like, strong in V... Is there anything else that's, like, maybe problematic in V?
I don't think so. Like, I think you've said this before, Matt, but they're, like, the gatekeepers, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, the rest of the format's fine. It's just these two are such a pain, head and shoulders above everything else.
Fogus is really strong, but it hasn't done anything because nobody had the expensive card. Yeah, so I just think you let it rock. Screw it.
Mm-hmm.
let's see what it can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? But, like, you know, golds were really oppressive for a long time. Then they died down a bit once they got rid of Percival and Gurgut together. Then it came back, immediately started oppressing the meta again. Prism has just been consistently meta since that deck came out. And then it survived the last ban list and is still arguably like top two. So that needs to go. And then I guess we'll just see what happens with the rest of the meta after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Standard, I don't think needed to be touched at all, but I guess we're just going to get a hit to Magnolia and Bastion for some reason.
I think there is a reason to hit Magnolia, but I don't know if this is the correct way. But
oh, it's the correct way. Trust me.
Yeah,
like, it does do a fair bit of damage. I'm just saying it's like it might be a little much, but I do think Magnolia needed a little, you know, little slap. Okay.
I said this when I was talking about the ban list video during the TCG presentation. Like, out of all of the decks that you're going to hit, Magnolia was probably it, and this was also the hit that made the most sense. You know, it kind of sucks that Magnolia has to, like, die like this, but it is probably the strongest deck, and this is the most logical hit.
I do like hitting Bastion, and let me tell you why. It's because sometimes Bastion goes first, and hits turn 4, and you just die.
True.
Like, they're just like, I'm just going to kill you now, thanks.
Yeah.
Like,
what was the hit on that?
The Dark Strain is...
Yeah,
Dark Strain. Is that one? But
one, yeah.
The one that lets you boost with Great Threes.
Yeah.
Because so, the order is comically bad. The order yes. lets you do it is so bad.
Like, so many people were like, oh, why'd you hit Dark Strain? Like, they have the order. I'm like, I'm looking at all these JP lists, and nobody plays the fucking order.
The order was playing like one list ever, and that like everyone else.
Like they have tried multiple times to make Darkstrain replacements, and none of them have been played.
Darkstrain's just good,
but yeah.
Ockham's Razor, right? Simplest. It's just thing fulfills the body, and then gives everything boost. Of course, you'd want it. Right.
Looks like grade three. The grade three that Bastion has that gets like extra drive checks is so super obnoxious.
Yeah, we like made fun of that card when it came out in set 3.
Yeah, it turns out we were wrong.
Yeah, we do that a lot, but
I mean I that card it's it, that card is very all in, right?
Yeah,
and it's hard, but Bastion's like that's fine.
Yeah. Especially because the great, I guess with the grade four Bastion now, you just like restand your whole board anyway, so it doesn't matter that you just rested five units.
I don't know. They revealed an order at the time of hearing this yesterday, where it's like, all right, you play the order and your guys can move sideways now. And I'm like, they already have that. It's called Urhula.
Yeah. Like Bushiroad has this weird habit of like creating cards that do what previous cards already did, but worse.
Yeah, and then like go ahead, sorry.
If you want a fun drinking game, you take a shot every time they reveal a card that has plus 5k on it.
Oh man, I'm doing that on our next set review.
Every you time should a card not is... do that on our next set review.
I'm gonna take a shot. Come on, no, just like a sip of the drink, right?
Yeah. Have you seen the cards they revealed already? Like every card has like plus 5k.
Plus yeah. 5K. Okay. Shield doesn't count, otherwise I'm getting alcohol.
They're trying really hard not to like power creep any of the cards. But also because they introduced three new trial decks, like the next couple of sets are just going to be first wave support for new archetypes again.
I just love that he comes out with a video about dust and then they just fucking make dust in.
Yeah, but this is like way worse than dust. Even post errata dust is better than this thing.
Yeah.
Like, what is the point of turning? Like, why does it have to decrease the power to one? Why can't it be zero?
They like, just got it.
Yeah, you attack someone that's, you know, you attack a one power vanguard. Let's say your rear guard is 15k, right? They put down a trigger. They're now 15,001, which means you need more power to get over it. This is just worse than putting it to zero.
Apparently it's got to be thematic or whatever.
Like, at least Dust also put the grade to one so you couldn't G-guard anymore, but that's not a thing in Standard, so...
Yeah.
Oh, and this card has to Soul Blast four different grades, so... It's like Chaos Highlander, but, like, even worse somehow.
I don't know what to tell you. I just think it's funny.
Yeah. No, it was incredibly amusing. I thought the exact same thing when I saw this card. I was like, huh. They just good like timing. Made dust again, but in a meta, but in a format where like the dust skill has like zero relevance.
I'm be honest, I haven't read any of the new cards, but they should.
Yeah. Also
I was playing DNF really- Duel all day.
Yeah, and then, like, there's also a weird thing with the current wave of support where apparently this dragon thing is going to have, like, an alternate form that it'll count for Persona Ride, but they're not releasing it until set 7, it seems like.
Man, if only they hadn't done that already.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, she has some huge cans.
Yeah, although this seems to be, like, a thing with the TDs where... The new TD bosses are just going to be weaker versions of what's in the actual set. Like, they have explicitly said this, that they're just going to release, like, better versions of the TD bosses that are more advanced, in quotes. So, like, all these TD cards also just count as other units that are in the set because of this. Like, the other... like, the Revolve Form dude... I think his name was Youth, which is, or Youth Burke, which is the weirdest fucking name. But yeah, he also has that same thing where, like, there's going to be a version called Skyfall Arms, and the Protofall that's in the TD counts as it. And they're just going to, like, put that form in set 6, and then they're going to put, like, the new form of the dragon in set 7. Which.
This is a lot.
Yeah, that was also something I wanted to talk about. Like, how do you feel about that decision? Of just, like, putting worse versions of the boss units in the TDs?
What was the problem with the TDs the first time? Weren't they, like, hugely popular?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, that was kind of the point, was, like, not only was it the intro to an overdress or whatever, but it was also, like, you had a fairly... competent deck and like a good base to start with. If they explicitly go, this is the butt version of what's in the actual set.
Like, obviously they sugarcoated it. I'm trying to go find the like picture of on the stream. of what they said.
I don't under, like, who's this TD? Like, so do you even need the TD then?
I don't know.
So, I mean, like what they do with Yu-Gi-Oh, where it's like a couple staples from the nation or whatever are in the TD, so you have to.
I mean, they've done that in Vanguard forever, right?
Yeah.
Remember when you had to buy 4 TDs to get your 12k attacker?
That was such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, at least these days they just put a full playset of playable cards in the TDs, but yeah. Like, it looks like what they were saying is, like, the TD is going to have an easy-to-play version, and then, you know, the anime version of the card is going to be in the actual set. And then all I think...
Let's take TDs... it. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. So the TDs are also introducing, like, tutorial cards where basically, instead of a skill, they just explain how to play the game. So, like, a grade 1 will have an explanation of what boost is. And then I think they're also... releasing expansion packs for the TDs that from the picture I was looking at, it looked like they're just going to be replacing those tutorial cards with the same cards, but with actual skills this time. And I don't know if that's included with the TD. So like after you're done learning the game, you can have real units or if that's going to be something separate because I can't read Moon Runes.
All right. So So you don't buy these TDs.
And you
I think.
Yeah, I think that's what it is you just don't buy these
TDs.
It's
for new players, and that's why they're reprinting the over-triggers to go with it. Okay, sure, whatever, got it. It's another wave to try to get new people, and that's fine. I'm not
I didn't mind the tutorial cards. I would need some sort of clarification on how the TD expansions work. If those are just, like, something included in the TD, so, like, you have your tutorial cards, and then you have cards with the same name and artwork, but with real skills.
I'll wait for the English announcement and figure out what they mean by that. Or until it releases, we'll find out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But, yeah. But the part where they're just, like, putting the anime versions of these boss monsters in the actual set, and then the TD is just a dumbed-down version for new players. I mean... I get it. Like, technically speaking, a trial deck is for new players to get into the game, but it is really frustrating that, you know, and I think it makes it harder for people to get into the game when your, like, TD card is just worse than something that's going to be in the set, and that once you learn the game and you get more experience, you have to get this different card now.
Yeah, that is definitely going to be pretty galling.
Yeah, because... Even with, like, grade 4s, you can still play the original TD bosses, and they're still competent on their own.
Now, here's the real question I have. Do you think that one of the easy-to-play bosses will be better than one of the advanced bosses?
I think
That's a very good question. It seems entirely possible.
I give it 60-40 odds that that is the case.
Yeah, over under one half.
Yeah.
I think 0.5 is the right over under for that.
Mm-hmm. So you have a coin flip chance of that being the case.
Yeah, because like
so is it so there is one or there isn't one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like the protofall arms with like the Revoltress ability where you can like rewrite into a new unit. You know that seems like pretty basic. It doesn't have a cost. It's just at the end of the battle, if you have the Revolt form in hand, you can ride it. So, there is a possibility that, like, Protofall might be better than Skyfall, depending on how the cost works out for Skyfall.
And before they're all great, do we know that they're all grade 3s in the new set, or?
I'm not sure if we know explicitly if they're all grade 3s, but they are making a new form of Nirvana for some reason.
Sure, why not? Why not?
Yeah, it seems like we're just back to overdress where we're just releasing new boss units every set again.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a very easy way for them to just like not advance the meta too much by just releasing wave one support every set.
Right.
Old habits die hard, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, because we also got confirmed on today's stream that like one of the anime characters is going to have this new card. And that's going to be an archetype in set 7. So, like, we already have one new ride line confirmed for set 7 at least.
Just once, I want a card to support a deck I already have that's not accidental. Mm-hmm. You know?
No. I mean, you're playing Magnolia and Prison. Those are both like anime archetypes. You have a pretty good shot of getting direct support. Yeah, it's someone like me that just collects all these bad decks that where I'm doomed.
Well, I kind of had to put Magnolia on ice because of
Sut 6 is going to support it, so you're like probably going to be fine.
So I just Inlet Pulse was so simple and good, and I don't know. I've tinkered around with using it in Great Nature as a.
Mm-hmm.
Way to get soul and still do that same thing of like you get a draw off of it and phase.
But apparently the new card is, in set 7 is going to be like a CEO and it's just going to have a Flying Fortress as presumably a set order.
So I'm imagining like Amaterasu from OTT meets Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah, but it's like a dude.
Alright. well, that was weird predictions. What do you guys think is going to happen? What do you want to happen for that list? Do you think that Vanguard should have more interactivity? Leave a like, leave a comment, or tweet at us at Nexus at Night on Twitter or Instagram. We don't really do much with the Instagram. Where can they find the rest of us?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Wiggums, 2 G's, 2 Z's.
You can find me at Plasma Eclipse.
You can find me at Atlas Novak, Twitter and Instagram, or you can follow my other podcast at Generation Dan on Twitter or Generation_Dan on Instagram. New episodes of that every Thursday. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/NexusAtNights. New episodes of Tangents, which is just where we talk about whatever the hell we want, every Monday. Sometimes we have a guest. Thanks to Darren Cole, Josh Jeremy, and Mule for being $10 patrons. What are you holding, Matt?
What's a card?
What was the card? The
Blitz Order.
Okay. Well, there was that. There's merch and playmat stuff. That's in the description / show notes. Thanks everybody for watching and listening. And until next time, I was Atlas.
I'm still Matt.
I'm Root Beer.
Have a good night, everybody.